Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Rosie Arias with Whimsical Charm. Welcome, Rosie.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Whimsical Charm. How are you serving folks?
So Whimsical Charm is a line of uniquely embroidered baby blankets, robes, and gifts designed for families who desire to provide their children with warm comfort and style.
So how'd you get into this line of work?
So that's an interesting story. Originally, a few years back, I was shopping for a gift item, and my gift preference was always a baby blanket. And I didn't find anything that I was, that I felt that was unique and different. Everything kind of looked cookie cutter. So I decided to create and make one myself. And I did that several times at different, as gifts for different baby showers, and they were a hit. And ultimately, a couple years passed by, not too long, but I was in the process of then trying to figure out which business I wanted to move forward with. I had two in mind, and my friends started telling me, the recipients of the gift started telling me that the blanket was pretty much the only blanket they carried with them. So that's when I said, okay, I'm going to move in this direction. So it was pretty much a need, and that, you know, I found that I myself needed, and then completed, moved forward with it. And ultimately that's how it all started.
So now when you first started, were you hand making each blanket?
That's correct. So I would go out and find some unique patterns, fabrications, doing some research and looking for items that you wouldn't normally find. And then I would add some type of embroidery or some type of a unique twist to it. And everything was made by hand.
So now, is that still the case, or now you have, you know, you're a manufacturer?
So now it's kind of a combination. I still, when I initially started, I did everything myself. And as I grew little by little, I used my resources in the fashion and garment industry and started collaborating with my friends who at that time now also had their own businesses. So it was, that's how I started, very small. And yes, doing things by hand, and little by little started growing. And now there's, I have a small team.
So now, how did you kind of educate yourself on all of those things? Because, you know, one thing is, okay, I know how to sew, so I can make one blanket. I mean, that seems doable. But then when it becomes a business and you got to do this all the time, how do you kind of learn how to do this at some level of scale? No matter, even if it's small, it's still, you got to be able to have a repeatable process.
You're absolutely right. I do have a background in fashion design. I have a degree in fashion design and a degree in business. And I have been working in the industry at, you know, headquarters for large and small companies, manufacturing clothing lines. So my background is an array. I just have an array experience in denim, from women to children, to men's, maternity, textile. So all my experience comes from, wow, now 20 years of experience in the industry.
Now, to take that leap, though, for, it's one thing to work for somebody else and be kind of a cog in the machine. And now when you're running your own show and it's your machine, that's a different animal. How did you handle that transition?
Completely different animal. So I knew that I wanted to start small. I wanted to have things produced locally. Made in the USA was very, very important for me. And so I did. I started off small, only did what I was able to manage. I financed everything on my own. So I was self-financing up until this day for the most part. And so took my experience, did, as I mentioned, did what I was able to on a smaller scale, started off selling at a local boutique at that my church was having, did that, then slowly but surely took it into wholesale because that was my background. My background is in the wholesale area. So I started attending trade shows. And once I did one trade show, then I added a second one, but it was really, really baby steps. And that's how I've been able to scale my business.
Now, in fashion, the brand is super important, right? Because a lot of times the stuff is kind of, I don't want to say secondary, but people feel an alignment and an appreciation of a brand, then that could be the difference between making and not making it. How do you kind of create a brand that really resonates with folks and has maybe a bigger why than some of the other brands?
Okay, so my so you're absolutely right. The brand itself, once I started creating, developing designs, started creating the business itself, then I wanted to be able to provide some kind of assistance to children in need, babies, also youth, teenagers. That's always been very, very strong in my upbringing. And always, you know, donating, giving what we can to those less fortunate. So I at one point started to figure out how I can incorporate that with my business. So I started donating to organizations that were aligned with my mission, and whether it was a children's hospitals, organizations at the border, organizations that catered with regarding cancer and children and families. And so that was one segment that I started. And then a couple years later, I incorporated the segment with empowering and training youth out of my organization. So year round now, in addition to the donating portion of the organization, I also have a program where youth come into my place of business and I train them in all things retail, wholesale, trade, small business, everything that I know, I then expose them to. So then they can have, you know, they then pick up work experience in any of those arenas, whether they're looking into get into the fashion world or looking into one day having their own small business. And ultimately, that is my purpose. Yes, I created, you know, an items that people love, but ultimately being able to help those less fortunate or those in need. And some of these young teenagers come from just the most broken homes. And I have always felt that they need the most love. With the proper guidance, it can just ultimately change their world. And that's how I've been able to step up the purpose of the brand and ultimately fulfill my, you know, my calling on this world as well.
It's amazing when you can kind of find that true north. Then once you've done that, then all the other decisions become much easier because it's either aligned with you and your true north or it isn't. So absolutely, it's easy to choose who to work with, what to do, and next steps.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that has aligned my yeses and nos for people who approach me. It has made it that much more easier and allowed me to stay focus and in line with what I'm trying to do. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it must be very rewarding to work with these young people, especially in these underserved communities, to help them see what's possible and maybe to dream a little bigger and to see that it can be done. And it just requires kind of that intentionality, that hard work, that focus, and the drive to keep doing. So kudos to you for doing that. That's an important way to kind of lift all the boats up there. Thank you for doing that.
No, thank you. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes these youth only know the four squares that they're surrounded in. They only know what's in the community. They're not experiencing anything else outside of this, you know, this little community they live in. And being able to bring them into my business, my area. And I'm not like this massive warehouse. We're definitely still on the smaller scale, but everything that they see that comes out of it and the work and the effort that they learn that I've put into it. And they can also see that I came from a community just like theirs. It definitely exposes them and opens up their eyes to dream that much more. And it's amazing. It's very heartwarming to see the difference that I've made. And when I first started, I just thought, you know what, let me expose them. Let me introduce them to something different. I didn't realize how fulfilling my soul was going to be from doing this.
And the ripples you're creating are, well beyond what you can even imagine, because you don't know what's happening in their brains and what their decisions are going to make now and how that's going to affect not only themselves, but their families and the community at large. I mean, what you're doing is important work, and the ramifications of that work you may never see, but you got to feel good about knowing that you're doing the right thing and helping folks in ways, role modeling behavior that shows them what could be.
You're absolutely right. Yes, you are correct.
So now, as the business has grown and you're getting more traction, what is it that you need? How can we help you?
So the program here, being able to continue donating, or even being able to continue to offer these programs, our business still needs to continue to, cash flow through and get the support that it needs with the funds and resources. We are planning on expanding and being able to caravan youth in from, cities a little further out that would benefit from this program. So ultimately, it's just getting the word out there that, about the brand, and we are here, and this is what we are doing. And, any purchase is greatly appreciated, and that's all recycled back into being able to continue these types of programs.
Now, for you, you mentioned earlier that you started out as self-funded. Is it still self-funded or customer-funded, or are you looking for investors?
Yeah, it's still self-funded, customer-funded. I have twice now throughout almost the 10 years, I have taken out a loan, paid that off, taken out a secondary loan. So as I needed, it's almost been like in about 3-year increments. So as I needed, I've been able to do that, but definitely still self-financed, customer financed that whole bit. Yes.
Now, has the pandemic impacted your business? I would imagine a lot of people are shopping it online now, and this would probably, you're a great choice for a lot of folks.
It has impacted the business. We have been able to maintain the challenge we came across initially with the youth. We had to stop the program. We then brought them back in to continue their training, but it has affected us a bit all around. Online sales are doing better. We were very much of a brand that hosted, created, and attended a lot of pop-up shops. So we were a very in-person brand, and that just completely stopped. And that has hurt the brand tremendously.
Right. And hopefully again into 2021, that'll kind of ease up a little bit and you'll be able to continue on that work.
Yeah.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more, check out your wares, what is the website or the social media coordinates to find you?
Yeah, so we are Whimsical Charm. Our website is www.whimsical-charm.com. So there's a hyphen in between the Whimsical and Charm. Social media, you'll find us on Instagram at Whimsical Charm, no hyphen, just straight Whimsical Charm. Facebook, Whimsical Charm by Rosie. Twitter at Whimsical Charm. Pinterest at Whimsical Charm. So pretty much all of our handles are on at Whimsical Charm.
Well, Rosie, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing important work and we appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.